Asking Styles, because who you are matters. I'm delighted to be here with you today. I hope you've seen the control panel. You've seen the instructions. We have them now before our key slide. But if you're not seeing your control panel, please click on that little arrow to expand it. And we will be sending you a PDF of the slides and a recording and an MP3. I'm Brian Saber. For those of you who don't know me, I am the co-founder of Asking Matters and the Asking Styles. I've spent my entire life asking for money, my whole adult life anyway. I'm sure I spent my first 18 years asking my parents, but I've been doing it professionally since. Never thought I would be. Wanted to make a difference. And the next thing I knew, this arts organization said, oh, will you help with the fundraising? And then this social service organization wanted me to do the same, and here I am. I'd love to know who you are as we get started. So if you could type in the questions box your title and the organization you're with, that would be really great. And we do have hundreds of you here today, so I won't be able to read them all out, but I'd love to get an idea of who's on the line. So if you could type in your position or title and your organization, that would be great. And I'm going to take a look at a whole bunch of those now. Great, Director of Special Events. And you know, it's interesting, Barbara, because when we started the Asking Styles, we were very focused on asking for outright gifts, more significant gifts. But in fact, the styles are so appropriate to special events because we're asking in special events, right? We've got a lot of development professionals, directors of development, Meals on Wheels, Tiffany, you're the executive director. That's fantastic. Land Conservancy, Robert Moss, a volunteer. Thank you, volunteers, for being on with us today. We can't do without you. Whole bunch of executive directors, donor relations managers. Really delight. I see another person from Meals on Wheels, Sharon Martini. Welcome to all of you. You know, if any of you grew up saying, I want to be a fundraiser when I grow up, let me know, because very few of us have. I certainly didn't. And as I said, we fall into this and then we have to figure out how we're going to do it. And it really took developing the Asking Styles for me to feel actually good about the work I did, because even though I present and I have these books and I go around the country talking and everyone perceives me a certain way, in fact, this is as much me as the slide you just saw. I am no more this stereotype of a fundraiser than any of us are. And I had to find what I was good at and how to do it and how to compensate where it's challenged. As a matter of fact, I willingly and sort of embarrassingly say, I hate special events. I really don't like talking on the phone. And I'm shy about meeting new people. Once I've met someone, I'm okay. But the idea of meeting someone, of going up to someone, even at the age of 59, still puts fear in me. If any of that sounds like you, let me know. Because truly, it took developing Asking Matters and the Asking Styles for me to look back and say, hey, that's okay. I don't have everything, but no one does. And I'm playing to my strengths and understanding where my challenges are. And that's true for all fundraising, and really specifically for any fundraising where we're trying to develop a relationship with someone one-on-one, whether it's individual gifts, corporate sponsorships, foundation giving, even government giving. So much depends on that relationship that we develop. So today we're going to cover a bunch of things. We're going to start with an overview of the Asking Styles. And then we're going to apply them to a number of what I'd call this the steps of the ask, from selecting prospects and making your case to setting up and having meetings. And then we're going to talk a teeny bit about boards and Asking Styles, because it's an area that I've been devoting a lot of time to lately. I think the Asking Styles really resonate in terms of board work. I hope you'll ask questions as we go along. There are hundreds of you. So I won't be able to answer everyone's question, though I'll try, and I'll get to some certainly at the end. And Kyle will be looking in the questions box as well. Kyle is my right-hand man here. He keeps everything moving, and all those correspondences you get from me, he's put in the system. So he's watching that questions box right now, and will make sure to make a note of any questions you ask. So let's jump right into the Asking Styles. As I hinted at, they were created because we realized that there were many ways to ask, many ways to be effective. They're just different because we're building relationships, and that means each of us is bringing our own personality to the table. And it means we're going to do things in different ways. It doesn't mean there aren't best practices. We'll talk about a few, but there is a lot of latitude to do things in a way that's comfortable and effective for you. So we thought, well, what might be the characteristics that most impact someone's asking style? The first, not surprisingly, is how do you interact with people? Are you an extrovert or an introvert? Now, the challenge here is everyone has a stereotype of an extrovert. Can you think, type in the questions box, can you think of a character from TV or the movies or somewhere that you would call an extrovert? Who comes to mind when you think extrovert? For those of you who are of my vintage, you might remember John Candy from Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Michael Scott, Molly, that was going to be my example. Michael Scott from The Office, Jim Carrey, certainly the character, Bugs Bunny, I love that, Sarah, The Rock, right? People who are really out there, maybe not reading the cues as much, but we have this stereotype. And then an introvert, we think of someone like Shrek. Who are some introverts you can think of? I see Robin Williams, Steve Martin coming up for extroverts. Certainly the characters they play are bigger than life, even if they're not in their own lives. What about our introverts? Who are introverts besides Shrek? Sometimes harder to figure that out because we don't necessarily see them, right? Where the extroverts are more visible. Well, the truth of the matter is that the difference here is in where you derive your energy from others or yourself. Doesn't mean introverts aren't social, but the dichotomy has to do with whether we talk to think or think to talk. So extroverts think out loud. As they're processing, they're talking. They're comfortable with what's being processed, comfortable enough to put it out there. Whereas introverts want to stop and think first and then talk. So there's a delay, half a second, maybe more. This impacts our energy, because introverts, when we are together with extroverts, we unconsciously, subconsciously speed up our thought process to talk and be in the moment. Imagine all the Zoom rooms we're in today, or any dinner or a dinner table, or going out with friends to a restaurant. The conversation's going to ricochet back and forth. Think of those special events we all do in fundraising. Lots of people talking at once, coming over to you, moving onto the next group. Now, if people are having a conversation and you as an introvert stop to think about what you'd like to say, someone else is going to chime in, unless someone said, "Hey, Brian, what do you think of this?" And then everyone will wait and look at Brian and wait to hear what I have to say. So without thinking about it, we speed up our process to speak in the rhythm of the conversation, and that uses a lot of energy. So this impacts how we interact with people, which is all of fundraising, right? Our comfort level in meeting with people, very important to our personality and to how we go through our lives and our fundraising lives. The second characteristic is, how do we take in information? Are we analytic or intuitive? By the way, I'm seeing some great examples of introverts. Coach Baird from Ted Lasso, great example. Susan Cain, the author of Quiet. Anyone who hasn't read that book changed my life and probably the lives of gazillions of introverts. Great book. Dustin Hoffman, interesting. The character in Big Bang Theory, I don't know that person. Oh, Leonard from Big Bang, that must be the character someone else said. Mia Thermopolis from Princess Diaries, all great examples. So information, much cleaner dichotomy, if you will. Do we start with data? Are we analytics? And then figure out an idea? Or do we start with the idea and then figure out the data? When we put these together, and by the way, that's going to impact why you even care about your organization in the first place and how you're going to talk about it. And we'll get to that in a minute. So this gives us the four asking styles: rainmaker, go-getter, kindred spirit, and mission controller. I'm going to describe the basic characteristics of each, and then we're going to launch a poll and see who thinks that their primary style is one of these. No one fits cleanly in one box. We all have a little bit of everything, but does one of these resonate for you more than the others? We start with the Rainmaker. When people think fundraiser, they think Rainmaker. Someone who's objective, the analytic extrovert, keeps their eye on the prize, goal-oriented, competitive, driven. I'm going to close 5 gifts. I'm going to raise $100,000 where this campaign is going to be successful. Great skills for a fundraiser, right? Then we have our intuitive extrovert, the go-getter. Big picture thinker, lots of energy, creative, gets people really excited about the cause, makes friends easily. Again, great skills for a fundraiser. Then we have our intuitive introverts, our kindred spirits. I'm a classic kindred spirit. We are feelings oriented. We wear our hearts on our sleeves. I know for me, virtually everything is personal. I've spent my whole life trying to make it not so, and it's still a challenge. But because I take things so personally, I tend to be sensitive towards others. I tend to want to help them. I want them to feel good. I want them to feel heard. How can I help you? I want to make sure you feel important as a donor. You come first, donor. And these are great skills for a fundraiser. Not to say a rainmaker can't be caring and a kindred spirit can't be competitive or goal-oriented. And then we have our mission controllers, the Eagle Scouts, the people who always get the job done, the analytic introverts, methodical, systematic, keep their eye on the prize, like the rainmakers, actually, but on the details in particular, and very observant, the most likely to sit back and watch and listen. And in fundraising, we know that listening is a really important skill. Now, there's another way we look at these styles, and it's through the core question each of us asks when we're trying to figure out, well, what's important to us? What's going to drive us? So the rainmaker is looking in the future, and it's at a goal. What's the goal? It's quantitative, so I know I've reached it when I get there. The go-getter is also looking in the future. But more broadly, what's the opportunity? What can we make happen? The kindred spirit is looking more internally and saying, well, what moves my heart? What am I feeling here? And the mission controller is saying, guys, that's all well and good, but what's the plan? Because if there's no plan, we're not going to reach our goal. If there's no plan, we can't take advantage of the opportunity. And if there's no plan, it doesn't really matter what moved your heart if we can't make it happen. So here are the four, and Kyle is going to launch that poll for us. Which do you think is your primary asking style? Rainmaker, go-getter, kindred spirit, or mission controller? It should be up on the screen now, and we'll give you 15, 20 seconds. Don't overthink it, because we're going to talk about a more scientific way to figure that out. But what do you think your style is? Rainmaker, the analytic extrovert, go-getter, the intuitive extrovert, kindred spirit, the intuitive introvert, or mission controller, the analytic introvert? What do you think? And I see a few of you have typed it in the questions box, and that's fine too. But if you can in the poll, wonderful. Okay, let's see. We've got more than 2/3 of you already voting. We'll give you 5 more seconds, and then we'll see who we've got here today on our webinar. Okay, I'm going to close the poll, and I'm going to share the results with you. Let's see. There we go. Okay, pretty interesting. Not very even, but fairly even distribution. Still smallest number of rainmakers, but 18% of you, 23% go-getters, 27% kindred spirits, 33% mission controllers. So 60% of you self-identified as intuitives. And 60% of you self-identified as introverts, neither of which is one of the classic traits of that stereotypical fundraiser. And the thing to take away, of course, is that either only 18% of us on the line can be effective, or in fact, we all can be effective. I apologize, I just brought up the wrong slide. Unfortunately, go to webinar. That is strange. Hold on one second, because it seems to have lost my slides. I've never seen that happen before. So hold on a second while we fix that. Let me go back here. Here we go. Okay, and of course I just lost my chat box again, Kyle, so we'll have to figure that out. I might need to ask you to read some things out to me. But on we go. By the way, I think one day I'm going to make mugs with this expression I have, which is, we love technology until we hate it. And every day that seems to be the case. We've never had this before where literally I my screen closed and then if it opened, it hit the questions box, but every day is a new adventure with technology. So once we know our asking style, we can figure out a lot, including maybe who we partner with or how we partner. So I love partnering on this whole process and certainly on the ask, but the whole process of cultivating and involving and educating and thanking and asking individuals and others. And depending on your organization, there may just be two of you. You could have an ED and a chair who go together, or an ED and a director of development. If you can choose, the ideal is to choose someone opposite from you, because then you have the bases covered. Now, I don't know if we have someone from Chicago here today, and at the moment I can't see my questions box, but you could type that in. But I worked for 30 years with Ron Manderscheidt at Northwestern Settlement House in West Ham. We were in over 1,000 meetings together in 30 years through multiple capital campaigns and annual asks and board asks. He's a go-getter. So I was always happy to have him as the extrovert. But looking back now, I really wish he were a rainmaker, because we always came with our intuitive side, the stories, the personal experience. And of course, we often saw donors who were more analytic, and we knew how to cater to them, but our sweet spot was over here. So I'd love you to think for yourself about who, and while you're typing this in, I'm going to fix my questions box because this is annoying. I'd love you to think of who you're most likely to partner with. Type in what your two primary styles are. Do you think you're a rainmaker, they're a go-getter? And say something about how you think that might impact how you work together. And while you're typing that in, I'm going to try and fix my screen here. Okay. Great, that is done. And that was our only poll, so that shouldn't happen again. And apologies for that. So now I'm going to take a look at what you've been writing in. Jenna says, I think my ED is a rainmaker and I'm a go-getter. So right, so what might that mean, Jenna, right? If you're both extroverts, in particular, what happens if you're going to see a mission controller donor, right? What happens? You've got all that great energy, but it could be hard leaving room for your donor to participate. You probably have to slow down the conversation and leave those empty spaces to give your mission controller time to think. Jen says that she's a go-getter and her executive director is analytical. So that's good that you bring both parts, because you can imagine if you're sitting with a donor you don't know that well, and the donor starts to ask certain questions, depending on the questions, one or the other of you might be better suited to answer it. Kimberly saying, I think I work best with a mission controller. You'll have to tell me what your style is so I know what that pairing is. But this is a great framework just for looking at any donor meeting and for looking at how we interact as a team. And we're going to talk about boards and asking styles at the very end. I see Sharon saying that she's a go-getter and her CEO is a mission controller. Now, though very complimentary, sometimes can be challenging as well, right? So to keep that in mind, and Kimberly's saying that she's a go-getter. So we've got a go-getter and a mission controller again. The key here is to take away that none of these are different. Now, there is a more scientific way to none of these is less or more effective, I should say. There is a more scientific way to find your asking style. We have a 30-question true-false quiz. It's available on all your electronics, very easy to take, free for everyone. And that's going to give you a primary and a secondary asking style. So I saw some of you actually said, oh, I think I'm a little this and a little that. You could be. I am primarily a kindred spirit and secondarily a mission controller. And that means my introversion is really the stronger, more dominant trait, but I do have some of that analytic. I actually have an economics degree, a business degree. I really don't like using them, but if I have to, I can. But the way I really describe this is I never want to be in charge of anything. I really don't. I'm happy if other people make the decisions, but I really want the decisions to be made and us to move along. So I want it to happen and I feel a sense of responsibility. And if no one else does it, I can do it. And so I often end up getting nominated to do something because I have the organizational skills. So that's my sweet spot here. And once you take this assessment, you'll get the quiz. You'll get a response on the screen and in your email box, and then in your inbox, excuse me. And then you'll also get some other material from us. So a really effective way to get a better sense of who you are and to understand that none of these styles is more or less effective. We're all just different. No one has it all. Truly, no one has it all. So let's now apply our asking style. Oh, and I see a question in here. So let me take that. What if I'm solo on the meetings, Jen says? Well, this is, here's where it can be helpful, Jen. And I think you're saying, I think you said, if I see that right, you're a go-getter. So if you're a go-getter and you're going to see another go-getter, you can see where you're going to have this really lively meeting. However, you might have to work harder to make sure it stays focused, because there are two of you who can get caught up in the exuberance and the enjoyment of the meeting, and it can end up not being what I would call intentional. And we're going to talk a little bit about intentional conversations before we end today. What if you go to see a mission controller? You need to be aware to maybe slow down, give the mission controller time to speak. With an introvert or a mission controller, again, pulling back, making sure not to jump the gun and speak rather than giving the silence. There are lots of studies on how long on average people are silent before answering and how short a period of time we tend to give them to answer. Let's see, there might have been one more question. Kyle, if you find it, let me know, but I'll continue on. And thanks for that question, Jen. So let's talk about selecting prospects. First, best practice, ability. So ability, belief, and contact. For someone to be a major gift prospect, let me step back and say that when I talk about the styles and talk about cultivating and soliciting individuals, which is where most of the money is, as we know, I'm talking about anyone worth the time to cultivate and solicit. And you have to set that threshold, whether it's $1,000, $5,000, $25,000 for your organization. And everyone you spend the time on has to meet that threshold, because you can't get blood from stone. So ability, belief. Someone has to believe in your organization. It's not enough for them to just have money and be charitable, because the wealthiest philanthropists, the Gateses, Mackenzie Scott, who's been unbelievable in the last couple of years, they all have sectors they support. And the third is contact, right? You have to be able to contact them. And often well-meaning board members will say, oh, you should solicit Jeff Bezos or Mike Bloomberg or whomever. But who has the contact? Who can reach out and get a direct response from that person? So that's best practice. But then we overlay our style. Now, our style may be used to help us figure out who we want to solicit, especially for our board members. And we're on today, most of you are staff, but we're all trying to get our board members more involved in fundraising, and we want to help make it more comfortable for them. For you as staff, where you may not be able to choose, you want to have an understanding of who's easier or harder for you to solicit. So rainmakers, if you're a board member, great with your business contacts, very strategic. you love the top dollar prospects. If I give a Rainmaker board member a small fish to reel in, the Rainmaker is not going to be very excited. If I say, this is one of our biggest donors, will you help? That's going to excite the Rainmaker. And the Rainmaker loves new prospects because they're very comfortable, objective, outgoing. They're okay with the rejection, relatively. And they like the challenge of seeing if they can meet a prospect and get that prospect more engaged to become a donor. Go-getters also like new prospects because you guys love meeting new people. And you're great, and this is for board members again, cultivating soliciting your friends, because you have this wonderful all for one, one for all attitude. I love go-getters because I love your enthusiasm and how you spread that around. Kindred spirits, not so much the people closest to you. That can be the hardest, again, for board members, because as staff, we solicit who we need to solicit. But if a board member is starting out to cultivate and help solicit, I say give the kindred spirit board member someone likely to make a gift, a fellow board member, right, who might be required by your job description to make a gift, a regular donor, someone who gives many years in a row, who's likely to say yes, where the only question might be how much, and so forth. And then mission controllers, also fine with their friends, very systematically go through them. So the Rainmaker takes a strategic approach. The go-getter casts the net wide over their network. The kindred spirit avoids the people they're closest to in the network, and the mission controller methodically goes through the network. That's how we look at it. And then I love this analytic intuitive side here, to the point we made earlier. If we're intuitives and we go see fellow intuitives, we have more of a common language. So if we're seeing someone who's analytic or an analytic's going to see an intuitive, we need to do a little more preparation to make sure we can answer some of those questions that might come up. Great. So that's one example. Second example is making the case. To me, the most important piece in fundraising, in this fundraising, is your case for support. What it is you're going to say to a donor. And here's my definition, that a case is a compelling set of ideas crafted into a story that moves the teller and the listener. Now, people, we know we have to cater to our donors. We want to understand what's important to them and answer those questions. But we also have to have something that we're passionate about and that is authentic to who we are. Because if we try to make an elevator pitch or just tell a donor what we think a donor wants to know, and we're not using our words and we're not talking about what we're most passionate about, it's going to fall flat. And who wants to build a relationship with someone who doesn't have that passion or doesn't feel authentic? So I believe if you create a story for yourself that you're passionate about and is authentic to who you are and what you care about, it's going to be compelling to the listener. So to me, that's best practice. The second piece of best practice is vision and impact. So we can talk about need, that there, we need our clients need housing, our clients need education, they need medical services and such. But when we talk about our vision for the world, it's much more exciting. So I'd love you to answer the question here in the questions box. And by the way, someone was asking about the chat. In GoToWebinar, the platform we use, everything you type goes into a questions box, which I see, but you don't get to see what each other wrote. It's a much stronger platform for the webinar itself, but it limits your ability to see what everyone else is saying. But if you could type in the questions box here, if your organization succeeds at its mission, what will the world look like? Or what will your community look like? What is your vision for how you want the world to look if you're successful at your organization? Not easy, much easier to talk about what you need. What's the vision? And I'll read a couple of those out. What is your vision? A world where what? Everyone has equal access to something. A world where everyone is fed. Here, Sophie says, where nutritious food and basic living essentials would be accessible to all. Imagine that. How exciting. We know of poverty and starvation, and imagine if everyone could have that. Bobby, no one is getting sick because of chemicals in our economy. Imagine. We see now the challenges with that. Jessica, everyone will have safe and affordable housing. I was just reading an article about how Houston, Texas has done an extraordinary job in getting homeless people into housing, which is, for those of us who live in major cities and are seeing a lot of this homelessness, it's just so exciting. Rhonda, a peaceful, healthy, loving, and strong relationships. Wonderful. Elizabeth, every child or family would be healthy, happy, with no mental health issues. A world where women thrive, where children live in safe homes. These are so exciting. I love reading these. I wish I could read all of them. There are a couple hundred of you, as I said. But this is what inspires our donor. So we want to say something like that. And then we want to talk about impact. So the other piece is, we can talk about the features of our organization. Maybe some of you were tour guides in college. I was an admissions, a volunteer admissions tour guide. We learned how to walk backwards, and I used to say, oh, we have 4 residential quads and 2,800 students and a 10-to-1 student faculty ratio. And recently I took my son on college tours a few years ago, and I wonder if they were any better, because I realized you could have gotten that from a brochure, and today you can get that online. I didn't teach anyone anything. But what if I had said that all our quads are designed differently so students can live and socialize and be educated in environments that best suit them so that they get the best experience and go out in the world best prepared? Wow, well, now I understand why I have different quads, and now I want to understand, you know, where my child or where I might live. So we can talk about features, we can talk about their benefits, or we can talk about the impacts they make. So not for today, but one of my favorite exercises to do with a board or any group is to just have a flip chart, 3 columns, feature, benefit, impact. You list all the features, and then, well, what's the benefit? Well, and what's the impact? And keep asking why till you get to these big impacts. Sometimes harder than you think, but that's best, to my mind, best practice, that your case should have vision and impact. But then we overlay our asking style and that core question each of us asks when we're trying to figure out what's so important. And that means each of us is going to use a different vocabulary to make the same case. Well, to talk about the same organization, right? We're each going to use a different vocabulary to tell a different story about the same organization. I, as a kindred spirit, will no more use outcomes measurements and such than a rainmaker might have a warm and fuzzy story about their personal experience or about a participant experience. Now, of course, what happens if I know I'm going to see a rainmaker? I have a sheet with outcomes measurements. And if the rainmaker asks me about them, I say, I have those with me. Let's review them together. Or I say, I'd love to gather those for you. May I do that and send them to you within 48 hours of our meeting? We don't have to have every piece of information handy. And for analytics, I might say, have some stories written out or have your iPad queued up to show a testimonial from a client telling a story of how that client's been impacted. But tell your own personal story. So, setting up the meeting, the next one. I find this fascinating because, you know, Jerry Panis, I'm sure most of you remember him. He was a mentor of mine late in his life. He would say that if you get the meeting, you're 85% of the way to a gift. In the old days, they used to say, you must call. You've got to pick up the phone and call. Well, as you know, I hate the phone. So I'm happy that in the early 90s, email started. I was happy as a clown once I could start writing beautiful personalized emails, which, of course, for me replaced letters, asking for meetings. Now, of course, I might have to follow up with a phone call, but I always have wanted to put it out in writing first. And depending on your asking style, that's going to be the case, all things equal. Now, if you know a donor well, and you know the donor wants you to pick up the phone and call, you can do it. I can do that, though I still would prefer email. But in so many cases, we actually don't know what our donors would prefer. And so I say, do it the way that's most comfortable for you. You're most likely to do it. This is especially true if you're trying to get your boards involved. Don't tell them all they have to call. Let them write beautiful notes if they like that. Besides which, everyone's on a cell phone today. And do you really want to call someone while and have them pick up while they're exercising at the gym, or they're out with their dog, or they're in the car with their taking their children to school or something? And many people won't pick up that phone unless they know who it is anyway. And for millennials, AFP, for those of you not in fundraising, that's our Association of Fundraising Professionals, the young professionals did some research on how comfortable different forms of communication are. And maybe not surprisingly, found that for 65% of millennials, the phone, talking on the phone, is the least comfortable form of communication. So, you know, saying we got to pick up the phone doesn't make sense for our field in many ways. Do what works best for you, all things considered. And now we're on to having intentional conversations, a subject I really am passionate about. Now, to help you with that, we have developed at Asking Matters another framework in addition to the asking styles, and that's the arc of the ask. Some of you may know Andrea Kilstead of Capital Campaign Toolkit with Amy Eisenstein. Andrea was a consultant of mine 20 plus years ago. We became friends, developed Asking Matters together, and she had this framework she was noodling with, which is now part of Asking Matters. And this is a framework we can use for any conversation. Now, today we can't go into detail on everything because I can spend an hour just on this, but I want to share just a couple of points along the way. We start, just want to look at my notes for a sec. Yes, we start by confirming, right? We've come together. Maybe we're in person. Maybe we're on a video chat. Maybe we're on the phone together. And we're in the same place physically, if you will, more or less. And we have to get in the same place emotionally. So we're on the same page. And it's a perfect opportunity to ask all sorts of personal questions and chat with each other. From there, we move on to confirming. Thank you for meeting with me today. I hope you still have a half an hour for our video chat. Then we explore. We learn about our donors. We ask them all sorts of questions I wish we could go into today, but we can't. And then it's time to segue to making our case. Oh, let me say, I'm sorry, I missed something here. I knew I was going to miss something. At the beginning of the meeting, our asking style impacts us. I find it hard at the beginning of the meeting. I need time to settle. As a matter of fact, I always get to, if I'm going to a dinner party or a small party at a friend's house, I really don't go to many of these, I arrive early because I find it easier to be there when people arrive. I like to get situated. Now, I know some people say they don't want to arrive early because they feel awkward if they don't have someone to talk to. So we each have our own. But I find at the beginning of the meeting, I need to settle in and get a sense of my surroundings and a sense of the rhythm. So I always write down questions to ask at the beginning. Whereas a go-getter or maybe a rainmaker, you're golden at the beginning of the meeting, right? You jump right in and you have a certain ease with that. So keep that in mind for yourself, your partners, any board members who are out there asking. So once we have gone through this first step, it's time to segue to making our case and asking. So we're all going to use different vocabularies and come from a different viewpoint, and we're all going to have a challenge here. So very hard to segue at the right time. Let me know if any of this sounds like you. So the rainmaker isn't big on process and might want to come to a close soon, the rainmaker fundraiser. And move on to asking for whatever you're asking for. You could be asking for someone to join your event committee, to open a door to someone else, to sit on a board committee, to be on a feasibility study committee. So you have to make sure not to rush that. Go-getters You have to, you're going to say, oh, we're having such a lovely time. Let's just keep chatting. Why move to the business at hand? And that's if you're even paying attention. My good buddy, Ron, he was so in the moment, which I loved about him. But it was up to me, using my mission controller secondary all those years, to move him along. I'd try sitting next to him so I could kick him under the table, or I'd make eyes at him, and he could tell from my look that it was time to move on. And if neither of those worked, I'd say, Ron, Kathy and Mike love hearing from you. You know, we love you, but we have to move on because Kathy and Mike don't have all day. So go-getters have to watch out for that. Then the meeting can wander, maybe go a little too long. And let me know if any of this sounds like you. Type that in. Kindred spirits, we're anxious about closing. Oh, this is the moment. This is the moment when I might get rejection. I have to ask for something and I'm in the spotlight. Maybe I can push it off and do it a little later. And the mission controller is going to say, okay, Brian showed me the arc. The ask is in the middle. We're 30 minutes into a 1 hour meeting. Chop, chop. I'm going to ask right now. Well, you might be really on a roll learning about your donor, or the meeting might have slowed down earlier because you can't get your donor to talk much. So you need to be sensitive to that. So we make our case, we tell them about our vision and impact, and then we ask for something. Would you consider whatever it is we're considering? Would you sit on a committee? Would you meet with me again? Would you come down to our school and see what it's about? And then the next hardest thing is keeping quiet. I think it's hard to set up the meeting. I think it's hard to segue. It's hard to ask, and it's hard to be quiet. Who do you think, type in, which of the four askers do you think will have the easiest time being quiet? The rainmaker, the go-getter, the mission controller, or the kindred spirit? Which asker will have the easiest time after making that ask, sitting back and waiting for the donor to respond? Type that in. Let's see, what am I seeing? Kindred spirits, a lot of kindred spirits, mission controllers, a rainmaker here and there. Jen's being very honest. I can't shut my mouth. I'm a go-getter. Excellent. The introverts overall. Hi, Lisa. I'm glad you're on today. That's great. Chris says go-getter will be most difficult. By the way, I saw, it was just an aside that someone had there. So here's what I think. There's nothing scientific per se, except that I live and breathe these asking styles every day, and I'm in tons of meetings and I'm watching people through this lens. I think it'll be a little challenging for the rainmaker, whose first instinct will be, okay, I'm going to sell you more. I can close this deal. I'm competitive. I'm driven. I'm going to come up with another reason why you should join our committee or come visit our program. But we'll then say, strategically, I know I got to be quiet and listen. It'll be hardest for the go-getter, who will have a tendency to go on, like Jen admits to, and I appreciate your honesty, Jen, and won't like the silence because now the party's really over. Right? You mean we have to sit here until the donor talks? The kindred spirit, slightly easier. Whew, I'm glad that's done with, but might go on due to anxiety. When I'm nervous, I talk too much. Plain and simple, I talk too much. So got to watch out for that. Easiest for the mission controller. Okay, I saw the arc. I know that, and I know the plan. I know best practices for me to be quiet now. I can do that. I'm going to be quiet. Thank you very much. And I'm going to listen. So the mission controller will have the easiest time. So we can use the asking styles to see, to plan in advance, to know where our hiccups are, to practice those pieces in advance, and maybe to ask our partners to help us, right? To help us be quiet, to help us move to the right moment. You can see where in that arc you might each take a different role, where you're stronger. Someone might be stronger at making the case. Often it's a staff person and asking for the gift. But maybe the volunteer is stronger at opening the meeting and asking questions. So to keep that all in mind. Let's see, I want to see if I have any more. Christina says, I thought I was an extrovert, but I am now leaning towards an introvert. I want to make a point about that. And that is that Well, I'll wait till these next slides. So we have a slide about the asking styles on. This is our last piece, and then I'll take some more questions. So boards and asking styles, big piece of my work. One of my books is actually on boards and asking styles and understanding your board through the styles. So the simplest piece here is simple. I hate using that word, so nothing simple in our business, but it's pretty straightforward to ask everyone on your board to take the quiz and see where they lay out. So you can see on the screen that Mary, Paul, and Rhonda are primarily rainmaker, secondarily go-getter, whereas Alice and George are primarily go-getter, secondarily rainmaker. So when you look at this, there's a pretty even split. Maybe you've got more intuitives than others. Imagine if just two people were different. If Alice and George were actually mission controller down there, and I'm sorry that says GGRM, but obviously they'd become mission controller RMs, you can see where the balance has changed. I do a lot of work with boards and I analyze them through this. I worked with a board last summer and I read their strategic plan. It didn't feel very strategic to me. I felt it wasn't visionary enough. It had all the details and it was solid. But it, to me, knowing how successful this organization was, it didn't have enough growth. And then I went to train them and everyone took the assessment. And lo and behold, 85% of their board was down here. Now, there are many reasons why that can happen. An organization that's very outcomes measurements based, where everything's about those numbers and outcomes, could attract people down here. We attract like people. So you have board members going and helping to find other board members that could be more like them than not. But every board needs a good balance. And before I move on to the next slide, I want to say, because I see Christina saying extrovert, introvert. The quiz is 30 questions. This isn't hundreds of questions. So don't think just because it says you're a rainmaker, that means you're some big rainmaker up in this corner. It just means, if you're rainmaker go-getter, that you're more extroverted than not, and you have more of a balance between analytic and intuitive. Some people find themselves very close to the origin of these two axes, and they're the ones who can best adapt and work with the widest range of styles. But I'm sure we all know someone like John Candy or like Shrek or whomever who's far into one of these corners. And it's so obvious they're rainmaker, mission controller, et cetera. And it can be more challenging for them to work with other styles. So, and some people ask, can my style change? I think we are who we are, but we adapt. I know there are executive directors on the line, on the webinar today. Most executive directors come from the program side. They used to be head of programming or whatever. And so often when they become executive director, they have a whole set of skills they have to now use, a lot of financial stuff, maybe human resources, all sorts of things. So they build those strengths, even if they didn't have them. And then they feel more balanced. But the question is, where's your core? What's easiest for you? Where's your sweet spot? So keeping that in mind is important. So coming back to the board, and then we'll be wrapping up and taking a few more questions. Imagine now all your board meetings and the dynamic of these asking styles in the board meetings. What is, and maybe type in here, what is the asking style, do you think, of your board chair? What's the asking style of your board chair? Is your board chair a rainmaker, go-getter, kindred spirit, or mission controller? What do you think? Let's see. I'm seeing some rainmakers, kindred spirit, rainmaker, go-getter, mission controller. You can see, I hope, if you've got a rainmaker, that chair is always going to keep their eye on the prize. We're going to keep moving forward. This is our goal. Let's not forget it. If your chair is a go-getter, they're going to excel most in keeping everyone really enthusiastic about what's possible. If you have a kindred spirit board chair, that person's going to make sure everyone feels heard, everyone on the board has a voice, everyone feels important. We'll help build camaraderie. Great. Mission controller chair is going to make sure that you follow Robert's rules of orders, that the meetings are precise, that things are done by the book, that you stick to the hierarchy, that things come up through committee. We all have strengths, and no board chair, again, has it all. So if you're an executive director, CEO listening, you might have a better idea now of how to support your board chair, because your board chair, among other things, is running these meetings and needs to make sure all the voices are heard. I very rarely speak up in a group. I prefer to give my feedback one-on-one. So if a board chair isn't soliciting opinions in advance, that board chair could be missing the kindred spirits and the mission controllers. And it's even more challenging today with Zoom. Much harder for introverts to jump in and chat, not knowing if someone else is going to chat, and they'll end up talking over someone else and then feeling awkward about it. So I recommend in Zoom groups, which are now going to be part of our lives forever, and in some ways for good, for the better of our organizations, that we make sure to ask questions in the chat box in the Zoom room and give every board member a chance to respond that way, because it's more likely that your introverts will respond. So really powerful material, I think. I'm obviously a huge fan of the asking styles, and I hope you will be too. So so the last question, I actually touched on it already. How might your your ED, CEO, and board chair asking style impact how they work together? So think about what those are. We talked about that before a little bit. And what might that mean for working together? That's a great exercise for you and your, if you're a development director, to bring this to your ED and your board chair and say, how about if we all look at this? Now, some of you may have done Myers-Briggs or DISC or any of the other personality assessments and may know some of this. Of course, for me, the beauty of this is that it's also about fundraising. So it's an important window into that for us. Okay, so next step. So I want a couple of next steps, and then I want to ask you for your takeaway and more questions. First thing is the quiz. I hope every one of you is going to go take that quiz, and you're going to have everyone on your team take that quiz, because then you can start to talk, have great conversations about how you work together, how you fundraise together, and how you build strong boards and strong teams and so forth. Now, I have three books, and the one on the asking styles, they're all available on Amazon. We'll go into a lot more detail on any of these if you really want to dig in deep. I've got one on boards and asking styles, which is a whole book on what I just spent 5 minutes on. And then I have one on how we inspire boards to fundraise, written with my peer, Michael Davidson, who unfortunately passed away soon after this was published late last year. But those might be a good place to start. And you can find out more information about those on our site. Two things, don't buy these now. I'm in the process of redoing my recorded trainings. I do one on each of the styles, and they're going to be out by the beginning of July. They're going to be amazing, and they're inexpensive, and you might consider that as a next step for you or someone. And the other is that we have a membership, and also don't buy a membership today. I'm retooling it. We're going to be announcing some great new stuff in the next 2 weeks, but we really hope that for some of you who do a lot of asking and really want some ongoing support and learning, that you'll consider. They're all really low-cost options. I try to keep everything affordable. So those are next steps, but I'd love questions, and I'd love takeaways. So what is your number one takeaway from today? And if you have a question, type it in. But I'd love to hear your number one takeaway in the last minutes we have together today. And don't forget, we will be sending you a PDF of the slides, and we'll be sending you a link to the recording by tomorrow, along with an MP3 of it if you want to just listen while you're commuting to work, if you still commute to work, or just as you're going from the kitchen to the office, to the bedroom. So what's your main takeaway from today? Lisa, I love that. One of my clients is on, and she said, I need to reach out to someone and not put it off and ask for the meeting. Excellent. Asking does matter. Let's see, Jen, work on listening more. Absolutely. Mark, I like matching two opposite styles as a team. Helen Marie, excuse me. Add asking style to profile for board members when recruiting. Oh, I wish I had time for that. But we may not be able to choose board members based on their style. But it would be interesting to know which style isn't well represented on your board, and try to go in that direction, looking for people. Oh, we need a great planner. We need a visionary. We need somebody who's really strategic and so forth. Let's see, Erin. Takeaway, understanding my colleagues' asking styles can help us collaborate rather than thinking we're getting in the way. We all have different styles, Elizabeth says. I like the quiz. It helps me better understand my style. Great. Chris, as a mission controller, I love the intentional conversations. I wish I could read all of these out loud, but please keep writing them in as we close, because I will go back and look at all your comments. I want to close by thanking you, because I mean, I have been doing this work forever, and I still do ask, though mostly I teach and I train and I write. This is and it's easier for me to do that and tell you, oh, you should do this, than it is to do the work. The work we do is really difficult. I think fundraising is the hardest work in our organization, and without it, there is no work. Without us out there fundraising, nothing happens. So we are so important to this field in making an impact in everyone's lives, in the environment, in the world. And I sorry, just got a bit emotional. I really appreciate all my fellow fundraisers, all the board members who showed up today and sit on boards, and everyone who's out there trying to make the world a better place. So thank you for doing that. Thanks for taking an hour to learn more about your asking style today. And I wish you all the best. Have a great afternoon, everyone. Take care.